should probably do that.
I'm just saying
I mean, they need to make it where it's automatic sometimes, but you know. And what I was going to say right at first was same old Dr. Fate.
Right. Uh-huh. Because we've met him before, right?
That's one of the things that I was kind of thinking about too and watching this episode. Is like I was like, we haven't seen him, but it's like all of a sudden it's like Superman has this friend that could take on this demon.
I have thoughts about that go all the way back to when I first saw this episode back in 97. So yeah,
you know what, there's a shot in here that like with this episode when it comes to, well, in the beginning where that burglar starts turning into Karkle, and Karkle, yeah. But like, I was like, oh, I just remembered like that reflection when he looks at himself.
Oh yeah, in the glass.
I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Like that one, like really slick. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this episode. You know, because I was like, all right, the Dr. Fate episode. It just wasn't. We talked about it last week. Then when I started, I started remembering the, you know, reminded me of what's his name in fucking SpongeBob. You know. Anyways.
Okay. Sorry. Confession. I've never seen SpongeBob.
Okay. So well, you don't know who I'm talking about. I can't remember the character's name, but his mouth has like little things just like that too. So anyways, welcome to DC Fanimated. So welcome to the DC Fanimated stream, guys. I'm of course Dave, the film junkie. With me as always, Mr. Scott McClellan.
This is already starting off to be a really weird episode. I just feel it. Okay. So kind of jumping in there. I know that usually you want to go start saying hi to people, but
no, that's fine. There's not.
I remember watching this episode. This is a weird thing where when Superman and Batman started coming back, I caught more episodes of this like on TBS. Whenever I was traveling, because my dad was a salesman. So a lot of our family vacations were just my dad's sales trips that, you know, we tagged along because the company was paying for the motel and the gas and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, when my dad would drive to the panhandle of Florida, that was how we had beach vacations. And I I didn't have cable growing up.
Yeah.
But I would always watch TBS on the motel televisions. And for some reason, that's how I caught a lot of this time period of the new Batman Superman adventures. So I distinctly remember being in a motel watching this episode, and when it got to that point where Superman flew to the Tower of Fate, and I'm sitting there going, well, when the hell did he meet Dr. Fate?
I know it's just, it is what, hey, I mean, it's I like it because it's like we don't have to like do this whole origin story thing. I mean, it's kind of similar to like, hey, when the hell did the Flash become a thing and they're just racing right now? And like,
but at least that was the first time like Superman and the Flash had met. The Flash was a thing, but they're meeting for the first time in the race. That I was cool with.
Okay.
But this whole, like,
I got this friend.
I got this friend who does magic. And it's just like, when did you meet Dr.? Like, I'm just kind of curious, like, in what point in your life did you, because you didn't even really become Superman until you showed up in Metropolis in, you know, Last Son of Krypton Part 2. So it was like, well, yeah. When did you start hanging out with, you know, Lords of Order? I don't know.
It is interesting because, yeah, I'm like, okay, so when exactly would he have met him? There had to be something that had to happen. And then, of course, when we meet this Dr. Fate, he's kind of just checked out. You know, he's like, I'm not fighting anymore, so maybe you should do the same. And he's just kind of, you know, a little cynical and stuff.
And you notice that you never get him named.
No.
They call him Dr. Fate the entire time, even when he's not wearing the helmet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to assume this is Kent Nelson.
It seems like it. He's got those Ra's al Ghul eyes too.
Did you notice that? I thought that was a choice there.
You know, there's like that aspect of it, but I was like, yeah, he's got Ra's al Ghul eyes, that black around the eyes, that eyeliner. I guess. I don't know what it is.
Well, no, is it eyeliner? Is it just? I don't think so either. But because on Ra's al Ghul, I would have actually have believed it was eyeliner because of his, you know, technically his Egyptian heritage in the comics. But yeah, they never call him Kent. They just call him Dr. Fate the entire time. And I just, there were some choices made in this episode. I'm not going to lie. I went into this episode being very, I remember not being a huge fan of the episode. And watching the episode for preparation for the stream, I'm just like, yeah, this episode's pretty much the way I remember it.
Yeah, it's a cool episode. It's cool that there's like another character that we get from the DC universe. But at the same time, it's like, all right, so it's just, I don't know. It's, this episode's freaky. It's pretty scary.
Because I'm actually going to stop there and say what I didn't remember, especially about Karkul, was how Lovecraftian he looks. Do you know what I mean by that?
This is the way, like the his design and the kind of almost ghostly, like, you know,
it's not ghost because if you know H.P. Lovecraft, that classic horror writer from the 1920s, or maybe if you caught Lovecraft Country on HBO a couple of years back, there's a design, especially for the main, the monsters in Lovecraft's fiction were referred to as the Elder Gods. Okay. And the big one's Cthulhu. Maybe you've heard that name. Right. So Cthulhu is drawn in the illustrations very much like Karkul. So when you get like the squid octopus looking creature with the like squid arm, like the squid tentacles in their mouth, That's like a Cthulhu elder god kind of it. So that design choice gets referred to as Lovecraftian because kind of all of his creatures, you know, eyeballs and tentacles and that kind of thing. So when you look at all the monsters and demons, I don't know what they were this episode.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, That one big bad mamma jamma that Superman sees is kind of like, oh, okay.
There's some choices.
So, but I just looked at the entire episode. You know, like we've talked in other episodes how whenever they do space stuff, they went very Kirby. Like they definitely made a Kirby choice. It was interesting on this episode, they went hard on the like Lovecraft, like we're gonna make every creature look like it came straight out of a Lovecraft book. And I liked the design choice. I like that Lovecraftian look, but it's a very distinct look that it was clear that whoever designed these characters, you know, read a little too much of The Mouth of Madness or Call of Cthulhu and had it on the brain. I'm just saying.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Cause yeah, there are interesting choices. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of freaky things that happen. And, you know, right off the start, you know, we just start off, of course, like how a lot of these start where, you know, there's something, you know, there's always like, you know, it's a jewelry store or some kind of place that has some
value. It starts more like kind of like I expect a Batman.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was kind of getting at. It was like, so you have this robber that's in like an archaeology museum. And of course, he's just looking at things and then he finds like, what would you call it? It's not a vase. What would you call that?
Oh, an urn.
Urn or something like that. Yeah. And there's like a, you know, there's a some stone in there that has some scripture on it, some hieroglyphic kind of looking things on it. And of course, how many times have we seen this opening where it's like, you find some secret thing that has something on it, you know, something bad.
Why do you read it out loud? Yeah. I mean, especially when it magically turns some hieroglyphics into English.
Yes.
Like that wasn't a danger sign. I mean, dude,
throw it away, get out of here. But then, I mean, that's where like I said, when he looked at his, cause he gets out of there, he releases Karkul. Yeah. And things happen. And then of course he's like trying to get out of there and he's just going down the street and he's like, looks at himself in the mirror. I was like, oh yeah, that one, for some reason, that image right there, just like totally just made my memory go bing. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I remember where this goes because at first I was like, how does this go? I mean, I was obviously setting up the thumbnail, and I'm like, okay, I know that they team up to fight something, but I was like, what the fuck did they fight? And then also, when I saw him do the reflection and he saw the green eyes, I was like, oh yeah, that fucking weird. Oh yes, they're just totally just explosion in my head.
I got possessed. I just love the way you describe the way your brain works sometimes.
Yes, it's great, isn't it?
It's entertaining. I'll say that, definitely. But it was, but I also am like, okay, so he bumps into the security guard, which, by the way, Ed Gilbert is the voice of the security guard. I always know him because he always plays like the random cop. Like, I always think about him because he's that one cop guy in the helicopter in Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, he's down, he's down. You know, oh, and I just they always used him as like, you know, the, you need security guard, you need the cop. This was the guy you used. And my God, I've heard that man's voice so many times as we've been watching these shows. But then, of course, the thief gets away, and then he's just randomly walking down a busy street. It's
with
Metropolis.
The bag of all the stuff he stole, and
right, and he's like, ooh, ooh, and he's got claws for hands,
yeah,
and he's just randomly bumping into people. But this is a metropolitan city, and it sure seems kind of empty for him, kind of like walking through the street, especially like the couple who just randomly is carrying the wrapped baby. No stroller, no. Father's in like the suit, mom's all dressed up, and yeah. Oh, here's just little baby wrapped up. And he's like,
and what's funny is like, you, if he's robbing that museum, it should be late at night, but it's not. I know we're totally nitpicking the shit out of this right now.
Well, I mean, the episode's not, you know, the best episode. No, let's not humor ourselves, but still it's just like looking at going, okay. Now, however, when he turns down the alley and the full reveal happens of Carcole, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
That's kind of cool. By the way, it's really hard because of all of the manipulation that's done, mm-hmm. but the voice of Carcole is a person.
Okay. Okay. Cause I was like thinking like maybe it's somebody, but I don't like, you can't tell with all the, like all the, what they
modulation
add.
Modulation and everything.
Yeah, there's so much. And I'm like, no, but yeah. Who is it?
It's Ted Levine.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Oh my God. Of course it's Ted Levine. Jeez.
Of course it's Buffalo Bill. I mean, come on, man. You know.
I know. And I'm trying to like think of the voice and while we'll hear it on the clip. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Of course.
No,
like,
I know you really can't tell. I mean,
yeah, because there's so much on there.
It's produced so much.
Kern. You ever watch what was it called? With Paul Walker and Steve Zahn. What was that movie called? Joyride. You ever watch Joyride?
No, I've never watched
Joyride. Oh, you should watch Joyride. It's a good fucking thriller. It's a very good thriller. It's got what's her name too. I can't remember her name, but yeah, it's just it's about two brothers who rent a car. He like one Paul Walker picks up his brother from like jail. They go on a cross country thing, and there's like a girl there too. And they have a ham radio, and they start messing with like this truck driver, and it's Ted Levine's voice. And the truck they fuck with him a little too much, and he fucks with them. Big time back. It's a great thriller. Watch it.
Okay, definitely.
That's why I was like Candy Cane. Yeah, you understand if you actually watch that movie why I said Candy Cane. But yeah, oof. And because that's all you hear is his voice through the CB radio. It's so good.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, if you hear that voice, man, Ted Levine. He was in Lost World, wasn't he? I think he was in Lost World.
It's possible. I'm gonna be honest. It's been so long since.
Yeah,
I've
seen, I think
he's
in the Lost World.
And he's also really good at playing the straight man in comedies. Like, there's a show I think he did. I cannot remember the name of it. Or I feel like he played like a cop.
Monk.
Oh,
it was Monk. Yeah, because I just like, because like sometimes I'll have it on IFC and Monk will start playing. And I was like, Ted Levine was in this fucking show. Yeah, yeah, Monk. Yeah, there it is.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy. I you would not recognize his voice in here, but But at the same time, if now that I'm listening for it, I probably could hear it a little bit. But yeah,
yeah, it's one of those things that you have to go into it knowing who you're listening for. Because otherwise,
no way.
No, it's just so much. They did so much manipulation to the voice, and I'm going to be honest. I spent a huge amount of time in the episode, really, like just trying to understand what he was saying because. Yeah. It was very difficult to understand his dialogue. That was why, like, when, you know, he flies off because, you know, he fights Superman. You know, it's just a whole bunch of punchy, punchy, smashy, smashy, zappy, zappy.
Throwing cars.
You know, like, oh, yeah, collateral damage because, yeah, let's throw a flaming car into the lobby of the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
Like, Clark, you know who works there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But it was cool because, you know, it's a Dr. Fate episode that when Caracol is like doing the mumbo jumbo, chanty, you know, cast the evil spell, he mentions the Lords of Chaos, which is cool because if you know Dr. Fate from the comics, then you know that it's always Dr. Fate is a Lord of Order. And their nemeses are always the Lords of Chaos, you know, and that's always kind of the big deal is like the, you know, the back and forth between order and chaos. So the fact that in the Dr. Fate episode, they name drop the Lords of Chaos, I thought that was, you know, kind of cool because when I saw this episode, this probably back in 97, more than likely was my introduction to Dr. Fate.
Oh, yeah.
This is because Dr. Fate being an old Justice Society character, I mean, not really one of those characters that got a lot of play in what I was reading. So yeah. I really think that this was like as much as I knew about Dr. Fate back in 97 probably came from this episode.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's what we've talked about many times of how many characters have we got introduced to, you know, in this animated world. And then, you know, then we start digging into the books and go, okay, now it makes sense. But, you know, it's cool that they, you know, that's what these episodes do. But yeah, I mean, and then of course, like you said, he does the spell chanty stuff for, and then of course puts this force field around the Daily Planet, with of course, Jimmy and Lois in there. And
being a little Ghostbustery, not gonna lie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah,
you know, I mean, I'm a big Ghostbusters fan. I was like, it's like Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's like when they, you know, especially when you see like fucking Maggie try to, you know, like you know, saying like shoot this laser at it and it's not doing anything. I was just like, it's Ghostbusters too, except it's not a big blob of fucking slime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's a supernatural force field that is just like, you know, around it. So, but yeah, yeah, very Ghostbustery. But yeah, so then of course, yeah, this is where we get Superman knows, you know, he knows. So, and I like it how they have like the hippie girl that just like shows up,
the corner, you know, the neighborhood Wiccan.
Yeah.
You know, funny enough, voiced by Cree Summer.
Who's that?
A very, very prolific voice actress. You've heard her.
I probably have.
A gajillion times.
Familiar, yeah.
Well, there's a reason her voice sounds familiar.
Okay.
She's going to be Max in Batman Beyond.
Well, there you go. Okay. So, yeah, because even that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, okay. Well, because Cree Summers has been in, like, yeah. I mean, it's one of those, I know that voice. Like, she's one of those voice actors, which, once again, thanks to the DC Animated Universe, there's a lot of those voice actors, you know, because, once again, we grew up in a golden age of cartoons.
Of course. Yeah.
And she's just one of those voices that you just go, yep, mm-hmm, there she is.
And now we have the technology to look it up. Like, oh, yeah, there. No, I knew it. I knew it was her. Yeah. but I like how she plays somebody. She's Doris or Rain Song.
Yeah, and my elven friends call me Rain Song.
it's just funny because it's like they don't know what the hell is happening. You got Turpin there.
Turpin is hilarious in this episode.
Yeah, it is like, you know, again, it's like you love these episodes because it's like Turpin just going, I was like, fuck, why do I have to deal with this shit? Like, this is, now we're dealing with supernatural forces. It was bad enough that it was just aliens. Now it's just like other dimensional shit. It's just like,
and you just know, he's like, where's Inner Gang? I just want Inner Gang. Yeah. Even when they had stupid alien technology, at least it was just crooks.
Poor guy. He's just trying to, you know, he's just trying to do good, and he's grumpy. But so, you know, of course, she knows everything that's, you know, kind of going on. She knows who Krokel is, or Karkol. Sorry.
It's a weird name, dude.
I know. And then she knows what the force field is.
You get a pass.
I know. I get a pass this time because it's, yeah. So she knows things that are going on, and of course they question. But then Superman's just like, "Well, I know somebody." And then of course, he goes to, the Tower of Fate, and then it's just there. Like, where is it?
Where is it? Thank you. Where is it? Where's the tower? Is it in Metropolis Park? Where? And I'm also, and of course, normally the Tower of Fate is depicted as being, well, literally outside of time and space. So really, the Tower of Fate can be wherever. So, but the fact that it's just hanging out,
yeah, it looks power. Like it's at a park or something. It's weird, but whatever, it's fine.
I know it feels a little bit like Cleopatra's Needle would be in, like, in the middle of Central Park, and just like, but there's Tower of Fate, but it's but it also looks like, you know, a medieval English castle, like that, like the one of the corners on the castle. It's just standing there. And of course he does the thing where he like walks around, and then the little Ankh symbol appears, and Fate's wife shows up. I didn't really catch her name.
Inza.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So she shows up, and then of course, I mean, this is after he's had this fight. So Superman's hurting because he got some deep scratches over the emblem.
Well, right, because magic.
Magic.
Magic. Always remember that Superman can be affected by magic. He is not immune to magic.
No, he is not. So he's hurting. He's not even when he lands, he like stumbles. So he's like, he's in pain. And then of course, you know, he gets in there, and then I love how she just like heals him real quick. And then he goes, you know, he's like, I don't suppose you sew too. And then she just goes, just like, yeah, there you go. Yeah. All hands. Not so much sewing. It's just magic there, Clark. You know, so that's cool that she did that for him at least.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny for me to think about the fact that the last time we dealt with magic was back in Batman the Animated Series with Zatanna, but she wasn't magic; she was just an illusionist. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, oh no, there's magic. There's magic. There's demons. Like, no, we're going, you know, full on. Like it's all real, and it's just it's funny. I think the thing that gets me, going back to our conversation about when the hell did Superman meet Fate? Because obviously they've had this long-standing relationship based on the dialogue. It's not like Batman. Batman's got, you know, the year, you know.
He's got the history with these people.
He's got the history. He's got the years in the wilderness. You know, you know, there's always that time in between. He leaves Gotham and he comes back. And we've seen that, you know, we've seen his travels to Japan. We've seen him studying with Zatara. You know, we know that there was a time period, and we know some of the things. So with Batman, at least the way that, and especially the way they did the animated series, if he happens to know some random person, you just go, well, yeah, that makes sense.
The Superman.
You just always get the idea that, especially in this universe, he went from Smallville to Metropolis.
I know. There's no like crazy, you know, time period in between where he went up to the mountains or
no, it's not like it's not like in Superman 78 where it's like he hiked to the North Pole and built the Fortress of Solitude. Yeah. And then, and then stayed in the Fortress of Solitude for like 10 years. Like, that part in Superman the movie always confuses me. It's like, did he just sit in the cave? Did he just sit there listening to AI Jor-El for like 10 years? I don't
probably.
Know.
Yeah, he probably, yeah. I know, that's always like a weird one where it's like, okay, yeah, he was up there for how long?
I know. Yeah, but and that goes back to the animated series. When did he find the little cave that becomes the Fortress of Solitude? It's exactly. Like, that just, there's just all of this, like, this series, unfortunately, does not establish the idea that Clark did any kind of like wandering or had some time or anything like that, like Batman the Animated Series established for Bruce. So when these jumps happen where you're just like, when did he find the random cave that becomes a Fortress of Solitude? How does he know Dr. Fate? How does he know that magic is a thing in the world? Because that's another thing. This episode introduces, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've not had magic. We've had aliens. We've had interdimensional beings.
We've had multiverse.
We have had multiverse, right, because of Brave New Metropolis, but we've not had magic. So this is your first introduction, and I just feel like there should be more of a, oh, magic's a thing.
Yeah.
So this feels like an episode that should have happened after having an episode of magic's a thing.
It probably would have benefited, because anytime, okay. You know, and we always talk about the whole two-part thing. Maybe it should have been something like that.
Yes. Where
we got an introduction to a Dr. Fate, and we got like more of a back, as opposed to just, I know this guy. And then when we meet the guy, he's very cynical, and you know, and when we do meet him, he's just like,
he's fucked the world.
He's like, you know what? I fought the battles. My helmet is now in a glass case, and I just look at it, and that's about it.
I think deep thought. I sit here and I think deep thoughts.
Yeah, he's in the metaphysical realm. Almost that reminded me of like X-Men and Cerebro a little bit.
Oh, Cerebro,
Cerebro-ness in there. But yeah, he's just like, he talks. We've met a Dr. Fate that is just totally just checked out, and he's just like, no, I'm my brain is over here now. It's not about like what's in this world. It's not worth fighting anymore, because it's just, you know, you just keep on fighting and fighting. Now if you bring yourself into like beyond the universe and all this stuff, and it's just like, it's like, okay, cool, this is a interesting introduction to this character. And I feel like with this first introduction of Superman handling magic, it's like, yeah, they could have probably just had a two-part story and introduced Dr. Fate and introduced Superman to magic, as opposed to just like, oh, I know what's going on here, I got a buddy, you know. It's like,
yeah, you know. I feel like there's a lot that could be fixed. I hate using that word, but yeah, there's a lot that could be given with this could have been a two-parter. Like, this would have benefited from being a two-part episode. I completely agree. I also wish something that happens a lot in this episode, and sometimes it's a trope that I don't enjoy, but when magic is just laser zapping out of our hands, it's like, I like magic being more than that.
Yeah.
Instead of just chant words, zap beams. It's like, so basically magic is lasers. Like,
There's that whole aspect. And then it's like, okay, here's this magic rock. Hold on to it. It'll help you later. And it's like, okay. And then it does. Like, she, Enza just throws like this, I forgot what they
talisman
call it.
Talisman or a token.
But it's just like, hey, here you go, you know. Give that a whirl. And it's like, okay, all right, a little too easy, I guess, maybe. But I mean, I get it. It's like, okay, so when he goes back, it's like
22 minutes, as you like to tell me.
Exactly. I mean, they are trying to fit 22 minutes, but again, if they could have just like had like a better introduction to this world, maybe there could have been like something, I don't know, who knows. But and then of course, you know, again, with Fate just being so out of it. I mean, he just basically grills her and goes like, you send him to the grave. And she just goes like, what do you care? It's like, oh,
yeah, that was right. That was a husband wife burn, if I've ever heard one.
Totally. Because she was just sick of his shit. And it's like, okay, if you don't care about this shit anymore, then why are you even saying this to me right now?
As you know? You sit in your chair with your steeple fingers.
Yes.
You know, I always love that. You know, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I wish I had a big fancy chair that I could sit at and just stare.
You know, one of these days,
and I'll just steeple my fingers, and I'll just
do that. You know, summon that energy.
Yeah, and then Dave will walk in. I'll just be like,
exactly.
I need to have the eyeliner so I can have really cool eyes.
You have those big eyes.
Yeah.
But you know, so we get that, and then of course inside the Daily Planet, starting to already look crazy.
Okay, this is creepy. This is the creepy part of the episode. I'm sorry, but I mean, he opens basically a pit to hell, essentially, and then all the demons start flying out, and then they start like possessing different members of the Daily Planet, and then they all like, like this could have been horrifying. Like,
yeah. As a kid, especially, you hear like a tearing sound too, because they rip through the clothes that they're wearing.
Skin, you know.
Yeah, but even though, like, when they turn back, they have the clothes on. So I guess that's not really.
I know.
Magic.
It's magic.
It's magic. Oh, it's magic. Yeah. And of course, you know, and I love it, like, the line that, like, you know, Jimmy's like, holy. And then, like he's about to say, like, you know, essentially, holy shit. And then, like, Lois is like, bad choice of words, Jimmy. And, like, it's like, yeah, it was a good little line.
Even though it's really weird that when the demons fly out, just like evil stingrays.
Yeah, that's what they look like. They're evil stingrays. Yeah. Like I said, their choices on all. I mean, everything's kind of, you know, squiddy, fishy, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Except for the one creature that I think is really kind of a cool design, which is like the one that's like got the pincer hands and the eyes, but you look and the feet are backwards. It's like walking back. That's
a cool design. Yeah.
That was a cool design. It's creepy as hell, but it was a cool design.
Very creepy. And then, of course they get possessed, or they end up getting possessed. And I love it how like the Lois
keeps her hair.
I know. Yeah. Her hair stays. It's like, so you know, which one is
Lois. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was funny. So then Superman shows up, and of course he's got that rock or that whatever the hell they
call it. Talisman,
whatever. And of course that just, you know, he could break through. I mean, you know, again, you know, like I said, 22 minutes. So it's like, okay, we get it. They symbolize. And then of course, you know, Maggie and Turpin are trying behind him, but you know, only he has the, you know, since he's holding it, only he can get inside. So they still can't get inside. And then of course, this is where we just like have like a little bit of a showdown. And
the coven goes, where would you like us to chant?
Yeah, I know. Rain Song comes with her whole like cult behind her, and they're like, where would you like us to chant? And Turpin's like, oh Jesus. Again, you just feel for Turpin. You do. And then of course, yeah, everybody gets possessed, and then Superman shows up, and of course, Carcol goes like, I don't remember inviting you when that all happens. And then what I do like though, and this is what's interesting, and I thought that was kind of cool, was the fact that when all the other demons start fighting Superman, and they're, you know, obviously Superman is having trouble. This is magic. This is craziness. Carcol goes, careful, it might be someone you know. And I was like, oh, that's a little bit of like, okay, so if he can't kill, he can't just like,
would have had more impact. Like, yeah, that's a cool idea that doesn't really get played, because he still just throws people around.
He does. Yeah. It could have been a thing where it's like he's fighting with the lowest demons, you know, and it's like, I think it's Jimmy
that attacks him at one.
I think it is, right? Yeah. So it's like that they could have really emphasized it a little bit more, because it was a cool line that was said by Carcol.
Just wish there was like better execution of it.
Yes, exactly. But of course they were like, well, we gotta have the entrance. We gotta have
the entrance is cool. The entrance is cool.
And that's where we're coming in.
Oh, we're coming in with Dr. Fate.
Of course. That's just I was like, oh yeah, we gotta come in with that entrance right there. Because I mean, how do you not have a Dr. Fate thing? Come on, HBO Max. Jesus Christ. Why?
Just Max, man. Just Max. Oh,
sorry. Is that why? Maybe.
Yeah, that's why. You know,
it's not working. It's
not working.
It's fine now. I don't know why, but it's like when I pause it and then I click over on my Google Chrome, it'll just like automatically go like, oh wait, I gotta like remember where it was, and it starts doing the circle thing, and I'm like, good God, man. Anyways, here we go. But yes, we get the entrance of Dr. Fate. And it's a great entrance.
You continue to surprise me, but as I said,
see, now I can hear Ted Levine.
Now. Hear it, right? Yeah, yeah. You can hear it now.
Whoa. There it is.
It's a cool, and also Dr. Fate translates really well to the animated series. Like,
he definitely does. Come to an end long ago. No
such luck. What magic do you have? Everyone's voice sounds like they're in a deep echo chamber.
Oh. The artifact of
mortal. I destroyed it.
The rock!
Yeah.
This is really melodramatic, I'm not going to lie.
It is.
Lorta, Terra.
Ah! No!
No!
You didn't see it because Dr. Fate didn't see him holding back his hand, ready to shoot right? Beam. I mean. Evil stingrays attack.
They look like, yeah, they have with like a little, they almost look like Batman.
The artifact.
With the, it's the only their wings.
Get it.
Go for the MacGuffin, Superman. It's the artifact you just found out existed in this episode. Zap. Zappity zap.
Zap, zap, zap. Pentacle slap.
So dramatic.
It really is. It's like you made that whole dramatic entrance, and geez, man. Now you got Superman diving through the fucking anal of hell right here.
You did not just go there.
I totally did.
I do not appreciate a Ragnarok reference. Go to the corner. Now this.
Look at that. That's pretty freaking. Yeah.
That is really freaking cool.
Yes. So close.
Yeah. Oh!
He's just getting slapped around.
What is this? Guys, stop waving the magic rock around like, here, come after me.
Don't let go.
You play football, man. Protect the ball.
You got this. You got this.
Just chant the words. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Does it really hurt that much to say an incantation?
Like, it's right. You know, it must feel nice for Superman, though. It must feel nice for Superman to be holding up a rock that is destroying somebody else for a change.
I know, right? I also love the fact that all Superman has to do is like, here, rock. Yeah. Sucky, sucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Did we miss something?
And then poof, it's all back to normal.
Yeah, it's all an illusion. And there's that skirt.
It's okay.
It's not even a skirt. It's like they're
yeah, the trench coat. Yeah, whatever. Hold on. She's wearing short shorts underneath.
We maybe. Like short shorts.
And then, of course, it's like, okay.
The healing balm should do its work.
See, it's just everything. Everything's going to be fine. That's the thing about this episode. It's everything's just so hand wavy. Just like, and back. Now it's fine.
You didn't stand a chance, but you went back.
Yeah, they could have benefited from a longer two-part story. This wouldn't give up.
I was wrong.
And then where was he holding that at?
It's like where did the grab go come out of the utility belt? I mean, seriously.
All right, here we go. I have your helmet just like right here behind me.
No, it's kind of like that.
I could do magic too. Hey,
well, it's kind of like with Batman, especially when he had the original design belt, not the redesign with the pouches.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, I remember the episode where like Gordon handed him a VHS tape and he just clicked it. It's just like, where does the VHS tape go? Where do all the grappling guns come from?
Yeah, just like suspend that disbelief, man. That's what it is. That's what I like about the Batman's, because you actually could see the holster where the grappling gun is.
Yeah, because he's got a leg belt.
Yeah, he's got a fucking leg belt. I mean, I think that's the first, and that's why you got to appreciate different interpretations of these characters, because Matt Reeves was like, the grappling gun, you're gonna have a leg belt, you're gonna look like a fucking, you know, like a cowboy kind of thing. It's just gonna be right there. And it's
there's also because he's also got the one that comes, yes, like that literally you watch him because it folds into his like, yeah, gauntlet. So it's like, and he, I'm sorry, that is a badass move that he does in GCPD when it's like this, and then you just see it go ching, and then,
yeah, oh my pop filter. I was very,
lots, you're getting very animated on that one, Scott.
Very animated. Man, the people who are listening to this on Spotify just missed out on all the action.
Exactly. If you're watching a video, you just saw like Scott just knock over his spit guard thing over his,
it's called a pop filter. Sorry. Okay. Yes, it's a spit guard, but it's called a pop filter. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Man. I always hate how that's going to happen. It's like, yeah, when I smack, it's like usually like when I smack like the keys or something that's over here. It's like,
don't worry, I do.
This
is
more exciting than the episode we just watched. I'm not gonna lie.
A little bit. It was kind of like a magic trick. It kind of was.
A really failed one. I'm not sure. No, that's a distraction so that you didn't see what I did over here.
Exactly. Oof. Your eyes were over here, but my hands were moving over here. Watch out. But yeah, there you go, guys. I mean, it's cool to see Dr. Fate in here, but at the same time, I think we're both just kind of like, could have been better. Could have been a better way to introduce Dr. Fate. It just seems like it's like...
And magic. That's the thing I think that bothers me the most is this makes magic a thing.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, it's like, oh, Superman's already dealt with this before.
Okay. Oh, cool. That would have been nice to know. Appreciate that.
I would want to know like why they decided to do it like this, you know? Like
I have some thought, because you gotta think we're on the back half of season two.
Yeah.
I mean, we've Batman's coming back. You know, we just had a crossover. I just feel like it was, hey, we did this with the Flash. We want to start introducing more. Like, we're allowed now to start exploring the wider DC universe.
Yeah.
And it's, I just feel like they just made choices to just make it a one-off episode when it's like, this could have been cooler. It's going to be so much cooler.
Definitely could have been, but and what could he do? It still has some moments, some freaky moments, some cool moments, and then just some what the fuck moments.
There's a lot of what the fuck going on in this episode, not gonna lie.
True that. What do we got next week?
We're going back to Gotham City.
Oh boy. About time.
I know. It's been a hot minute for some cold comfort.
Cold comfort. Oh, well, I mean, that kind of gives it away right there.
I mean, right? I mean, just... Even Dave can figure out what this episode's about.
What is this, the Harley episode? No. Cold. Because when it comes to the Batman Adventures, we haven't seen Mr. Freeze yet.
No, the last time we saw him was Sub-Zero.
Right, the movie.
The movie. Funny story that I'll talk about next week's episode. This episode aired before Sub-Zero came out.
Oh, that's right. I think maybe we talked about
the funky release schedule for Sub-Zero because of how Batman and Robin the movie screwed everything up.
They're just like, go. Yeah.
But Cold Comfort actually aired before Sub-Zero. So for you, Dave, and for the audience, an experiment. Imagine go in watching Cold Comfort thinking you haven't seen Sub-Zero yet. Just putting that out there.
Uh-huh. I know. That would be very, especially with the design change too.
Yeah, with the design change and all kinds of things that get talked about in the episode. But watch the episode and realize when you watch this in 97, you hadn't seen Sub-Zero yet because they hadn't freaking released it yet.
Good Lord. It's crazy. Crazy. All right. Well, there you go. Cold comfort next week, guys.
Batman, the animated series.
Yes. Back to Gotham City. Like I said, we are bouncing back and forth now since they, just go in that kind of order. We're trying to keep it as chronological as possible. So go ahead and watch that. And we'll be back here next Thursday. And, should be a fun one. This one was no matter what, we always have fun talking about these episodes.
We have even if the episode is
yeah, that's what it is. Anyways, plug away, Scott.
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitter at ScottDC27. You can find me on Instagram at McMurlin. And you can find me on Vero at Scott McClellan. You can find my podcast, the DC Squadcast, wherever podcasts can be found. We're on Vero, Facebook, YouTube, with the entire network of shows at SquadcastMedia.com.
There it is. Smash that like thumbs up, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on the Vodka stream at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll see you guys next week on DC Fandom. And we'll talk to you later.